In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. I'll confess to you that I didn't look too far ahead this week when I began preparing my homily, and so I began preparing it based on the epistle for today. But we didn't read the epistle of the day because I didn't realize it was the Feast of St. Paisios. And so often what happens on a Sunday, you'll have the gospel that you typically do for that day, but the epistle will be for whatever saint. If it's a major saint, the epistle will be for that the saint of that day. However, I was already well into my homily, and so I'm leaving it. But I meshed it together with some other things. So, in the original epistle for today, the famous line from St. Paul is in there: "If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved." If you confess with your lips that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. These are verses that have been made more popular in the past few hundred years because they kind of offer the undergirding of Protestant theology. And it's really a Protestant misunderstanding of these verses. It's a misunderstanding that makes salvation really quite easy. What is salvation? Salvation is, I'm going to confess Jesus as my Savior, say the sinner's prayer, which is a relatively modern thing, and then it's done. I'm saved. Salvation has occurred. We're good. But this isn't the model of salvation that the scriptures as a whole give. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, St. Peter writes this: "It is with difficulty that the righteous are saved." If it is with difficulty that the righteous are saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? These are the words of St. Peter. Salvation requires much toil and much struggle. It is not easy. So we must take our struggle against sin really seriously. We have to be serious in our struggle against sin. You hear Father Justin and I mention all the time that simply being baptized in the church does not make you, in the depths of your heart, a true Orthodox Christian. Just coming to church once a week does not make you an Orthodox Christian. Rather, you must engage the struggle. We have to have the goal in mind. What is the goal? Sanctification in Christ. Be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. This is the goal. To drive away the passions, to slay them, and to create room in our hearts, which was once filled with sin, that can then be filled with grace. To be completely transformed in this process. To believe in our hearts and to confess with our lips then means to be fully convicted in heart and to be willing to confess even in the face of hatred, persecution, and yes, even death. This is what St. Paul talks about in these verses. Dear ones, if we cannot face and conquer the evil within us, how do we expect to fare against the evil outside of us? The question of when and how to stand up to the evil outside of us, these are difficult questions. We'll address these. We'll address these when we get to our Orthodox Survival Series beginning in August, which, by the way, everyone please come to those. We'll start them in August on Saturdays, and we're going to have an 8-week course talking about what orthodoxy really is and how we address the issues of our age. We need to know how to address them. We need to know how to respond to the craziness happening around us. And we need to know what that craziness, where it really comes from. What's the mindset behind it? So we can know whether we can accept it or whether we have to reject it. And if we reject it, how? Do we speak up every chance we get? No. In some cases, speaking up is actually more of a problem for you. I've told people in this very parish. They said, should I stand up in my work when they tell us that we have to be at the Pride Parade? We have to do this, we have to do that. I say, you can pull your boss away, pull him aside privately and just explain to him, I'm sorry, because of my religious convictions, I can't support this. But am I going to fight with every single employee that comes along? No, you're going to get fired and it may end up just becoming a bigger problem for you. Will there be a time when getting fired seems like the right thing to do? There may be. There may be. We'll talk about that when we get to August. But the reality is that even when that time comes, if we come from a standpoint of our passions, if our passions are still inflamed within us, then our defense of Christianity often becomes a defense of us. I don't stand firmly on the rock of faith. I stand firmly on my own pride. And you've offended my pride, and therefore I'm going to stand up for my pride. It's not very convincing for them, and it's actually harmful for us. We need inner victory if we ever hope for outward victory. When to stand up against those outward questions, that can be difficult. There could be nuance there, and there can be difficult answers to that. But when and how to stand up against the passions within us, those are easy questions to answer. We must be constantly vigilant. We must stand up courageously against our passions. And we refuse to give them even a single inch. The fathers are very clear. When we take the supposedly small things seriously, and when we severely persecute those small sins, the big sins never really have room to grow in the first place. They never really become a problem. If this is the way we truly live, it means that we're always vigilant. We're always looking to make another step forward in the spiritual life. There's no standing still in the spiritual life. There's no standing still as an Orthodox Christian. There's no sitting around in comfort. This is the hard truth about Orthodoxy. This is not a faith in which we can lie back and be comfortable. As soon as we become comfortable, we let our guard down. As soon as our guard is down, the demons have a playground right in our own hearts. We have to remain ever vigilant. We have to remain with the goal in mind. We should know. We should know this week, what are the sins that I'm severely going to persecute in my life? What are the sins that I struggle with the most? And what am I going to do about them? What's the plan going forward? In other words, we don't let the spiritual life happen to us. We make the spiritual life happen. And we make sure that it's moving in the right direction. With toil and struggle, we are always moving upwards. This is what it means to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. This is what it really means. To engage the fight. To have Christ always before us. Today we commemorate an incredible, absolutely amazing, modern example of someone who struggled valiantly for salvation. Someone who allowed absolutely no compromise whatsoever in his soul, and who gave the devil absolutely no rights over himself. In St. Paisios. It's a pretty awesome month in the Orthodox Church. Yesterday we commemorated St. Sophroni of Essex. The great elder who reposed in 1993 was a disciple of St. Cillo on the Athenite. And today we commemorate one of his contemporaries, St. Paisios, who reposed 1 year later in 1994. Who our own Metropolitan knew and spoke with more than once, who many people around us met and can recount incredible, miraculous stories about his counsel and his deeds. I won't recount his entire life, which, by the way, outwardly, his life, pretty darn unremarkable. Pretty darn unremarkable. Inwardly, however, inwardly, his life was vast and glorious. And I will tell you right now, there are two large biographies of him available in English. Every single one of you should obtain one of those versions, doesn't matter which one, they're both great, and read it. It will change your life. it will absolutely change your life. You will be so fired up for prayer. You will be so in love with Christ. You'll be so in awe of St. Paisios, and you'll want to follow in his footsteps inwardly. We have a couple of them down in the bookstore. Those better be sold out by the end of the day. There aren't that many. If you can't find them after that, let me know. I'm going to order some more for the bookstore. But if we have trouble, I promise you, I'll help you out. We'll find you a copy. At least one of those biographies you must read. It'll be so important and so significant for your salvation. So instead of going through his life today, I thought I would just share for you some of the stories and sayings from this magnificent saint. They're so beneficial. And I want you to listen for yourself in some of these stories. In some of his words, I want you to listen to how you can benefit by changing the way you think about the spiritual life and the struggles in your life. So to begin with, St. Paisios rarely liked to seek medical attention for his illnesses. He was by no means against modern medicine. Like St. Porphyrios, another contemporary saint of his, when he looked at somebody, he would be able to tell you whether you had a great illness or not. I read a story last night where he saw somebody and he said, "You don't know it, but you have lung cancer." He said, "But you should pray, of course, but a miracle is not awaiting for you. Not that type of miracle. Rather, go to this doctor. He'll diagnose it and you'll be fine in a matter of months." So he would send people sometimes. He'd send people to doctors and specialists. But he had a strength that allowed him to see his own pains very differently. And so at one point in his life, he was suffering from a very severe hernia, a lot of pain. And he said this. He said, "I don't want an operation. Let me have something wrong with me. It's a great thing to be sick, to suffer. And not to pray about it, not to ask for healing, but rather to pray for others. God really listens when someone who's suffering prays for other people to get better." An awesome saying. What love and selflessness. His own pain was utilized for the benefit of others rather than complained about. He constantly sought out how he could use his own difficulties to help others. Now listen to what he said about monks who are treated unfairly. He said this, "A monk should rejoice when he's treated unfairly. He doesn't have any rights because he's following in the footsteps of Christ, who was wronged and himself treated unfairly. Someone who is worldly and ignorant has a lot of rights. Is this not our age today? If his boss chews him out, he'll take him to court. A monk, on the other hand, no matter how much people do him wrong, doesn't have any rights. Not even if people curse at him. God arranges things like this. Why? So we can pay off some sin or put a little something aside. When people treat us unfairly, and when we try instead to make things fair, we lose whatever savings we already had." This is an image St. Paisios used all the time of having a spiritual bank in heaven. He says, when people treat you unjustly, they're depositing money into your heavenly bank. But if you try to avenge yourself or try to make things fair, you lose that deposit. And even what you had in there is spent. I don't think that advice, by the way, is only for monks. I think it's advice we could all use. Now listen to how his humility helped St. Paisios resolve conflicts. Yet another, all the saints knew each other. Yet another great modern saint, St. Ephrem of Kathanakia, who reposed in 1998. He said he was an eyewitness to this. He says in his monastery once, there were two monks arguing over a mistake one of them had made. And this argument was intense. And they were ready to curse one another. St. Paisios heard about it, walked over to the monks, made a prostration to each one of them, and said, "Don't be upset with one another. This was all my fault." The monk's peace was far more important than his own reputation. Did he have anything to do with the problem? No, but he would take the responsibility upon himself. He would take the responsibility for the sin of the world upon himself. He talked a lot about thoughts. There are two different pieces of advice he gave about thoughts that I want to share with you. The first is he said, your mind is like an airstrip. He said, planes are going to fly overhead no matter what. Just don't let them land. That was his way of saying, you're going to have thoughts no matter what. People come to me in confession all the time and they say, oh, Father, I keep having these crazy thoughts. They're coming to me again and again and again. When I pray, I have evil thoughts. I have this thought. I have that thought. St. Paisios says, those are going to come and go anyway. Don't get into a conversation with them. Don't let them land. Don't sit there and dwell on them. Just accept, oh, the devil sent me a stupid little thought. I ignore it. I'm going to go back to Christ. That was his image, the airstrip. He also said this about thoughts. The best way to face attacks of thoughts is to treat them with contempt. Treat the thoughts like they're not the least bit important. It's dangerous to converse with a thought. 100 lawyers together couldn't beat even one little demon. Thus, he said that our mind should be like a factory. And this is what he called his own mind. He says, my mind is like a factory. A negative thought will enter. I treat it with contempt and ignore it. And I produce a good thought in its place. This is how Christians ought to act in their minds. Be severe with the negative thoughts that come to you. Treat them with contempt and always replace them with a good thought. Easy to do always? No. When somebody's treated us unfairly, when they've attacked us, we want to hold on to it. How dare they? And we sit there and mull over it. And one little thing becomes bigger and bigger because we can't get it out of our mind. He says, no, no, no. Dismiss it. Treat it with contempt. Don't get mad at the person. Get mad at the thought and then make excuses for them. Think good things in their place. That person cut me off in traffic. Maybe they were in a rush. Maybe they're having a really bad day and they were distracted. Maybe they're going to see somebody in the hospital who's near death. It's okay. God bless them. God get them there safely. This will help us so much. In encouraging the Jesus Prayer, he gave this advice. He says, two things are needful. We can't do the Jesus Prayer mechanically. Rather, we must remain ever aware of our sinfulness, number one, and we must constantly show gratitude for all of God's gifts, number two. With these two things, we learn just how ungrateful we are, and then we'll want to pray because we see how gracious God is towards us. And this, he says, is what will transform prayer into a mechanical method, into what he calls spiritual springtime. It's a beautiful phrase. Spiritual springtime. What creates spiritual springtime for us? When we're ever aware of our sinfulness and constantly show gratitude to God. And we pray the Jesus Prayer with these two things. St. Paisios had an incredible relationship with nature because of his pure-heartedness. So a couple quick stories from that. Of the many creatures that loved St. Paisios and loved to be around him, one of the ones that surprises people were snakes. Snakes loved to go into his little hut. They'd go on the rafters and just wrap themselves around. He had one snake in particular that he was close to. One day, a few men, these travelers, came to see St. Paisios. They knew him. They knew him well. He was always very gracious and loving towards them. But this time, he was very kind towards a couple of them. But to the third, he was very, very curt and very rude. Then after a while, the man finally asked, he said, Elder, you always show me such love, but today you seem upset with me. Did I do something wrong? And Elder Paisios looked at him and said, yes, you're a murderer. And the man laughed and said, Elder, you must be mistaken. I've never killed anybody in my life. And the elder said, no, I saw what you did. He said, when you started climbing Mount Athos, this was miles away. Elder Paisios couldn't have seen this with his physical eyes. When you started climbing Mount Athos today to come see me, you saw a snake in your path. And you picked up a rock and you crushed its head and killed it. That snake was my friend. You killed my friend. You're a murderer. The man immediately fell at the feet of Elder Paisios and said, please forgive me, I had no idea. And he said, that's okay, don't do it again. And then he was loving again. There's a beautiful story where some men came to meet with Elder Paisios, and he gave them a canister that he always had filled with little lumps of Turkish delight. And he gave them the canister and said, please have some. But on the lid of that canister were written the words, "When finished, please make sure that the lid is tightly sealed." Whoever had eaten the last time didn't pay attention to those words. And so the lid had been slightly open, and so when they opened it up, they were shocked and dropped the canister. It was absolutely covered with ants. Completely black with ants. So St. Paisios looked down and saw what the issue was. He said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." He picked up one little piece of Turkish delight and set it aside. And then he looked at the ants and he said, "Now, this piece is for you. The rest is for them." And the ants immediately started to move outside of the canister to the one little piece. Even the ants were obedient to him. St. Paisios could turn anything mundane into something spiritual. Once a monk had finished repairing a roof on his hut. And he noted it. He said, "Look, you know, I just finished repairing the roof of my hut." St. Paisios transformed the conversation completely. He started with the building and the building up of the hut and ended up with the building up of the soul. He said this. He said, "The roof is the most basic part of the house. It's good that you repaired it because it keeps the rain out. But what we need is to have our heads on straight so we don't let tempting thoughts get in." So beautiful. So beautiful. You can imagine with this type of holiness, the devil especially hated St. Paisios. He absolutely hated him. St. Paisios would give him names like the little nuisance. He wouldn't give him that much stock. He wouldn't give him too much importance. But one day, the devil was so sick of being defeated by St. Paisios that he appeared before him and just started mocking him. And he started making all these sorts of noises, and he wouldn't let him pray. And he kept badgering St. Paisios over and over and over and over again, taking a physical form and trying to scare him. And St. Paisios had finally had enough, and he cocked back his arm and smacked the devil right in the nose. This demon screamed in pain with his hands over his face and ran out the door. And so what did St. Paisios do? He felt bad, so he spent the rest of the night praying, asking forgiveness for this poor little demon. Couple more. Let me tell you one of my favorite stories. This is so important for us. Please listen to this one closely. We need to listen to this one. The story is about a paralytic who came to him, who he ultimately did not heal. He gave him a little miracle, but otherwise he didn't heal him. And listen why. This paralytic man comes asking St. Paisios to help him. And St. Paisios would grab his weakened, paralyzed legs, which were almost shriveled, and he would kiss them repeatedly. He said, these little legs are going to take you to paradise and you don't even realize it. He told the man who was thinking about coming to the United States for treatment, he said, don't go. They're not going to be able to help you. You're just going to become a guinea pig for them. They're going to try all these different things to them. Don't go. And the man was pretty crestfallen at this. And so St. Paisios said, "Get up. Let's take a walk together." And the man thought he was joking. He hadn't walked in years. But St. Paisios insisted. He said, "Come on. Are you able to get up or what?" And so he helped the man up. And the man was able to stand and began to weep. And they began to walk. And as they walked, St. Paisios just continually wept. And he muttered prayers that were so quiet the man couldn't quite understand what he was saying. But St. Paisios was conversing with God. And he sat the man back in his wheelchair. Listen to this. He said, "Listen, my child. God doesn't want you to get better. In fact, you're going to get worse. But you should know that the people who surround and serve you are all being saved by caring for you without even realizing it. They help you, and they're helped by it. You become a means for the salvation of their souls. This is what God is asking of you." Awesome. What consolation. Okay, one last one. When I was in seminary, one of my professors showed us a picture. It was a picture from every year the seniors would take an annual trip to Greece. They'd go to Greece, they'd go to Constantinople, Athens, Thessaloniki, they'd go to Mount Athos. And that year they got to venerate the relics of St. Arsenius the Cappadocian. If you know St. Paisius' life, you know he was baptized by St. Arsenius. St. Arsenius, who helped the Greeks so much during the Turkish occupation, during some horrific times, and was an incredible saint in his own right, when he baptized St. Paisius, he prophesied, he said, "This boy will someday become a great monk known throughout the world." Well, one of the seminarians, he was tired and cranky. They were moving around a lot. It was hot, summer. Going from one church to another, venerating relics. And on his way in to venerate the relics of St. Arsenius, he muttered to one of his seminarian friends, "Here we go, kissing some more bones." And one by one, they went and venerated these relics. The professor was in the back taking pictures of each seminarian one by one as they venerated the relics. But when the picture of that guy who had complained, when that picture got developed, it didn't show him in the picture. It showed a figure dressed as a monk, all in black, leaning over the relics of St. Arsenius. And after looking at the picture for a little while, the professor understood. It was a picture of St. Paisius. In making that little side comment, that little joke, this man had lost all the benefit that he would have gained from venerating these relics. And so St. Paisius stood in his place and venerated them for him. I've seen that picture. Everything's clear in the picture except for that black figure. It's slightly blurry. You can tell it's something not of this world. Dear ones, the saints should really inspire us, and especially saints who lived in our own modern time. The writings of St. Paisius, readily available. Thick volumes. I think 4 of them, maybe 5, have been published in English already. Again, 2 thick lives. There's other smaller lives. There's books of conversations with him. You can read about him in other books. The Gurus, the Young Man, and Elder Paisius. You really get to know his personality there. The Mountain of Silence talks a lot about St. Paisius. You can watch videos and movies about his life and his teachings. Utilize these things, dear ones. The world is going to get tougher for us, but I promise you, we will be encouraged in this if we utilize the difficulties of this world to the benefit of our souls. We have to go inward. We have to go deep within our own hearts and persecute the passions within us, even as the world persecutes us from the outside. We have guides before us. Do not stand before Christ at judgment and have him ask why you didn't utilize all the gifts that he gave us in these great modern elders. Push forward. Push forward with faith, with humility, and with love. All else can go in the dumpster. That's all we need. Faith, humility, and love. May we have the intercessions of this incredible Saint Paisius with us today and always. Amen.